It's here, and it's spectacular.
The all-new ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000, it's Xander and Hanley. Good morning on a Saturday. We've got football games today, football tomorrow. We'll be talking about the Bulls, what happened last night. How you doing, Brian? Did I hear you were already into the Malort this morning? Is that what I heard?
No. Ben Pope saw some guy at O'Hare trying to coax a New York person into drinking a shot of Malort at 7 a.m., giving him the Chicago welcome. I've never had Malort, and God willing, I never will.
You know what? I don't know how I've been able to avoid it, but I'm in the same club.
It's a pandemic.
And people look at me. People look at me like, wait a minute, you grew up here. How have you not had that?
And well, that's just become a thing in the last... Well,
It has. Yeah. But I've been well aware of it, and I've known from other people that it's not exactly... You know, high quality bourbon, you know, so I've stayed away from it. And now it's become a thing where it's like, remember the hot sauce craze where it's like, oh, you got to have that. It's
I never did that one either.
And people, I really think when they were into, when that was all the rage, it was almost like they were just forcing themselves to take the hottest sauce possible. It was uncomfortable, but there was a status to it. Now I think that's where Malort is, where it's like, oh, you got to try it. I don't have to.
in through my 20s, I probably had too much Jägermeister, and I forget half my 20s. So I think I learned my lesson early. I'm more of a red wine guy now, very mellow. And I think the pandemic, you know, the fact that you don't go out to bars and meet your buddies out or, you know, meet your neighbors or friends and hold court.
Why would you have Malort at home?
No. Matter of fact, one time I moved, I found a in the freezer, the back of the freezer, I found a bottle of Jaeger that had to be there the entirety of, I lived in that house for like 10 years. And never opened it. And it just, when it tastes like, you know, NyQuil, you probably, I'm assuming Malort tastes kind of like Jaeger tasted in the day. You really don't need to do that.
Yeah, I wasn't even a Jaeger guy. I'm glad you got out of that habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Last night, before we head into the sports, I've got to say this, a bit of a public service announcement by way of me and the fact that I love live music. Yeah, you know, trying to catch all the sports yesterday in the Bulls game, I was able to take in Buddy Guy at his Legends Club. And I've got to mention this because I've seen Buddy many times. Buddy's 85 now. He's still playing live. He is the connector to Led Zeppelin, Cream, and all of the Stones because
the
he
Rolling
was one.
Stones, yeah.
Yeah, he was the American blues guitarist that these young British kids started emulating. He was one of them.
Was Lucille with him?
No, that's B.B. King. That was B.B.'s guitar. But he's got the polka dotted guitar. And I mentioned this because
does the residency, right?
Every January. Yeah. He's got four shows left. Actually, I mentioned this, that tonight and tomorrow night are not sold out. The rest are sold out for the month. And I just mentioned this, that if you have the chance to see him, he's not going to be here forever. He is a true American music legend
icon,
and treasure. Yeah. And he's right here. He's right here, and he, you know, he's been here all these years, and sometimes, you know, we just stop paying attention to things that are so accessible. But see him if you can. If you've never seen him, he still is very entertaining. What a great show it was last night.
Live music. I mean, that and, you know, traveling on the road covering teams to be able on an off night. I remember seeing Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young down in Dallas on an off day during a Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Run. It wasn't the Blackhawks. The Stars were playing. But, I mean, just to be able to go to clubs like that in Chicago, thankfully, you know, the ones that survived the pandemic, you go out there and support them. I mean, whether it's the Hideout or any of these places. Right?
Absolutely. I was at Blues Chicago a few weeks ago, and I'm taking my son. He is a young urban professional. I'll just say that. I won't call him a yuppie. He'll hate me for it. But he's got a place here, so I'm spending the weekend with my son, and I'm taking him around to blues clubs, and I said, we have to see Buddy. He's not going to be here forever. And It was a great show. And you're right, Brian. You have to go out and support. There are a lot of places that are still open. Not everything's open.
No.
But they look for a vax card. Hopefully you're on the right side of that if you want to see live music. Otherwise, you're going to have a tough time in Chicago.
Take a photo of that, and hopefully you got the booster too. Take a picture of those cards, put it on your phone.
Right.
You don't have to carry the cards themselves.
I actually carry my card, like my license.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just...
You can do it either way. Right. And they will look at that, and, you got to support, because through the pandemic, everybody's taking a kick. And that segment as well. So, okay.
Was it more of a body slam?
Yeah, watching that several times, I think I watched the replay probably 10 times. That right hand had all the bad intention in the world. And we're talking about that flagrant foul on Caruso last night in the
Grayson
Bulls game
Allen,
against the Bucks.
Long time, jerk face. you think of jerk face, that guy's there for you. And, smirking jerk face is even worse. And so when the officials were looking at the replay to give him the flagrant two.
Smirking
jerk face is the worst. Jerk face bad. Smirking jerk face real bad. But long time guy. I mean, not
a surprise, unfortunately.
No. I mean, he didn't go up with the intent of blocking Caruso's dunk. And, props to the Bulls. Lonzo Ball, bad news is, he's going in for surgery and, gone for a couple months. Mm-hmm. You're without Zach LaVine. You're depleted.
Certainly Zach will be back sooner than later to Ball. But,
you played some defense. It's a good rivalry when it's a clean rivalry, and it's starting to get like that again because, the Bucks obviously are defending champions and all, and that's what you aspire to be if you're Billy Donovan and this team, and you have ways to get there. I mentioned last week, Mark, that 538 had the Bulls with a 2% chance to make the finals and less than that.
I know. Are they on to something? Last week we thought, what? How could that be possible? But,
they've lost 5 of 6 and 6 of 8, and they're 12-12 against teams with 500 or better records. So, once they get healthy, you hope for better. Vucevic, you're talking about a guy going to the hoop. You've got to go to the hoop and not let Holiday stop you one-on-one. And granted, he kicked the ball out to the guy you want taking that three in DeRozan, but he missed it. But Vuk, he's got to take it to the hoop. We have a chance to tie with 39 seconds.
Well,
left, right?
he's our big guy. He's got to get there. And, this losing streak has been really, really horrible at times. Last night, they're the world champs, and we made a game of it. We are short. It was more encouraging to me than not, as opposed to some of those blowouts. But again, it's hard to – we didn't know what team we were going to have this year. We had all kinds of hopes, and for most of the season, they have over-delivered. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So at this point – having this skid, while unfortunate, hopefully they can learn from it and get Zach back and do what they can even without Ball, because it's a long season and skids are going to happen, but this just seems alarming because of how well they were playing.
Well, look, if Milwaukee, if you look at them and we talk about you need at least three guys to start a conversation to compete for an NBA title, right? You need three legitimate stars. So when they have Giannis and Middleton and Holiday healthy and on the floor together or in games together, they're 18-3. So they're 29-19 overall. So what does that make them? That makes them 11-16 when those guys, one or two or none of those guys are available.
Yep.
It tells you, when you're missing Lonzo Ball and you're missing Zach LaVine, it was a wonderful effort. It was a tough effort. There are 16 lead changes. Back and forth game. But you don't have your full star power available to you. You're going to come up on the short end, even though it was a 4-point game. So,
and any NBA team is you're going to be subjected to that if they are missing a couple of their stars.
Absolutely.
It's going to be tough because having LaVine and he should be back. Are we talking within a few games? Then are they expecting him back?
Yeah, I think Billy Donovan's put a date on it. But, again, you need him certainly.
Yep.
You need Vucevic to be more consistent. We talked about him. You don't want him taking threes, but you need him to play bigger than his size. I mean, or as big as his size in the post. You still need a body up front. And whether you're going to get that at the trade deadline, we don't know. You don't need Kobe White having a night like he had last night, where he's 3-for-15 and 0-for-9 from 3-point range. I mean, he's a scorer. I mean, he's a legitimate, pure scorer and shooter. And guys have off nights through an 82-game season. I get it.
Yep.
The surprising part, Mark, is this team, the Bulls, went into that game leading the league in field goal percentage at 47.5% and leading from threes with almost 39%. So to see a guy like, White go 0-for-9, it doesn't happen often. And I know Billy Donovan wants him to take more threes, but, smart threes. Didn't happen last night.
Looking here, according to Casey Johnson, it looks like Coach has continued to say that he's responding well to treatment. He's optimistic that he will come back middle to late next week. So that would be this coming week. So hopefully that will be the case, because losing Ball for a long term is definitely going to hurt. We need everybody else on that.
Well, here's a question out there, 312-332-3776. Grayson Allen, smirk and jerk face that he may be, and all the way back to Duke. It was interesting because, let's listen to the play first, because, he got ejected. Billy Donovan was very adamant after the game when asked about it, about what should be done. And let's set it up.
Let's grab that when we come back from break. OK, 312-332-3776. We'll hear the play and we'll set a question for you to jump in and let us know what you think here. It's Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000.
Kicks it out to Connaughton. His three won't go. Long rebound, Caruso, taken away by Middleton for a moment. Then DeSumo's got it. Hits the trailer, Caruso, and a hard foul on Grayson Allen as Caruso hits the deck.
And this is sports. Okay.
They'll look at this to see whether this is a flagrant, and if it's a flagrant, whether it's a 1 or a 2 on Grayson Allen.
Well, the jerk star called. They're running out of you.
All right, that was a that was a 5. It wasn't a 2. It was 2. A 5, Brian.
Yeah.
Do they have that?
They should. In this case, a long-time repeat offender.
And you heard the thud. You heard the thud on the audio there. That was tough to watch.
The good news is Caruso had a sore wrist. I don't know, because he got hit in midair or the way he landed.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to stay in the game. Billy Donovan was going to take him out, and he talked him into the coach into keeping him in. So apparently avoided serious injury. But Billy Donovan, none too happy with the smirk and jerk face, Grayson Allen.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was really, really bad. And, I have to say this, we lost Patrick, on a flagrant foul to, a pretty significant injury. And I said this after the game, I think it was against New York and Mitchell Robinson. I think Mitchell Robinson was trying to make a legitimate play on the basketball. It happened to be a flagrant. There's times there's flagrant fouls, but, for Alex to be in the air like that, for him to take him down like that, he could have ended his career. And he has a history of this. And that to me was really dangerous. And I really hope the league takes a hard look at them, something like that, because they could have really, really seriously hurt him. I mean, he's dealing with his wrist right now. I don't know what the extent his wrist is, but just being there, it's really, really dangerous to go after somebody like that. And I personally thought it was, it was just, it wasn't good. It just was not good. And for it to even be extended to a flagrant 2 and be thrown out of the game, clearly the officials must have felt like there was some intent there, the way he yanked him and snapped him to the floor and his head bounced off the floor. So really, really, really dangerous play.
Brian, reading this article on ESPN from Jamal Collier, it said Caruso added that Allen did not come to check on him following the play, which is kind of a courtesy. That happens a lot most times,
right?
Yeah,
but that
does not line up with his character.
No. Yeah,
and according to Caruso, he said, "Dude just grabbed me out of the air." It's kind of bull blank.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you could say about it. I'm just glad I didn't have any major scary injuries right away. Us too.
Let's take a listen to Caruso, because he was... apparently didn't follow smirk and jerk face down at Duke, where tripping used to be his signature move down when he was in college.
Didn't really know really what happened, you know, during the play, but afterwards looking at it, and dude just grabbed me out of there. Kind of bullshit. I don't know what else you can do about it. Just glad that I didn't have any, you know, any major scary injuries right away.
So Grayson Allen, and Caruso went on to say that he was unaware of his reputation or history. Billy Donovan, as you said, you know, as he said, is aware that he's a repeat offender. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's a guy who was ejected from a summer league game for striking somebody in the head immediately after being drafted. Has already been on what?
Summer league. Yeah.
Yeah. Summer
right.
league. Summer
right.
league.
Right.
Three teams already since being drafted in 2018. Now he's having a good season with the Bucks because he can play off the stars and he gets his share of shots and points and, you know, but he can't help himself. He still has to revert back.
This is the Milwaukee version of Bill Laimbeer 30 yeah. years later.
Yeah. But, you know, as much as he's that guy, you know, I will say would Bulls fans like a guy like that wearing a Bulls jersey? You know, this team is celebrated for its chemistry, how they all get along. Mm-hmm. He is helping the Bucks to, you know, getting back to winning ways this season after, you know, when they're healthy, he's part of their winning. There's tough players and there's dirty players. But I wonder, 312-332-3776, if anyone would make the case that, you know, the Bulls could use a guy like that who's not going to give you the easy dunk and is going to make you pay for it. Now, Billy Donovan wants to make him pay for it by writing a check. He wants the league to come up with a big fine and or suspension.
And will he be investigated? Do we know that that's actually going to be happening?
Oh, I mean, the league has to look at that,
uh-huh,
right?
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I don't know. Writing a check, you know, for whatever.
What does that really, you know, that always, you know, poses the question. Does it really, really matter? Does it yeah. really, really hurt when yeah. they're writing a $10,000 check when what they're making?
Yeah, I just... who was it the other day? It was Kyrie was started getting into it with a fan, and he was fined $25,000 for whatever.
How about taking a game or two or three away instead of fining them?
Yeah,
and hurting the whole team.
Yeah, and then yeah, see how much your team supports you. But
right.
I you always hear that fans would say, "Boy, you know, if he was wearing our uniform, we'd be all, you know, we'd be cheering a guy like that."
Yeah, like a Bob Probert. Remember that?
Yeah, Proby.
Yeah,
sure.
We hated him on the wings, and we loved him here. That's a great question, but, you know, there's a difference between dirty and tough, and mm-hmm. I think we see dirty with Grayson. So 312-332-3776. Would you like a player like that, or do we need more toughness in general? Yeah, you know, I don't think we need dirty, but toughness isn't necessarily a bad thing, Brian.
No, I would argue that you do need that. That's something the Bulls are missing. And it's just, you know, they need size up front for sure. They need Vucevic to play like his size more often than he does. And he had a horrendous game the other day before the Milwaukee Bucks game. So about as bad a game as you've seen him since the Bulls traded for him. But they still have some things they have to work on, for sure. Again, mm-hmm. the 12-12 record against teams with winning 500 or winning records.
That is not going to get it done in the long run.
No.
Yeah.
No.
312-332-3776. Now, Vooch is kind of hot and cold as far as using his size. Would that be a fair statement, do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now what is, you know, what needs to be done with him? I mean, can you coach him up? Is he just not going to reach that next level? I mean, I guess it's undetermined, but what are you thinking here after seeing him? And because the hot and cold thing doesn't make any sense to me. If you have it one day, you've got to have that tenacity to get in there and get dirty.
Right. And look, again, you know, just like Kobe White's 0-for-9 from beyond the arc, it happens during the course of a long season where you just don't, you're not feeling it. You're just not.
Right.
You're just throwing a clunker, I guess.
Well, if you're hitting shots or not hitting shots, that's different. That's just being very consistent with your effort, it seems.
But my point is, when you look at what the Bucks record is when their stars are all clicking and out there together, they're an 18-3 team. And mm-hmm. so you need Vucevic to pull his weight much more consistently yep. than he has to this point.
You know, we've got Thomas in Beverly that wants to talk about Vooch here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Thomas, you're on with Xander and Hanley.
Hey, thank you, guys. I think his toughness is just lacking completely. I feel like the team's really circled around, you know, the chemistry and everything. But we brought him in for these draft picks and everything. And I just feel like the toughness isn't there, and it needs to show up soon, especially with LaVine and all these guys out with injuries.
Right, right. And sometimes we see glimpses of it, but it's just not something he's willing to sustain for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, last night with Giannis and everything, he kind of bullied him, and Vooch is supposed to be the guy bullying the young talent. Granted, Giannis is the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year formerly, but, you know, it's a little frustrating.
It is.
It is. Yeah. And the question is, like Mark just said,
thank you,
is that something you coach up? And does Billy Donovan need to challenge Vucevic more? I mean, can you coax that out of him? Can you toughen up? You know, I remember Kevin O'Neal when he was coaching Marquette. This goes back a ways. But he had a 7-foot player who wasn't playing. He was playing like a guy who was 5'8". And he locked him in the old gym up there. And he told me the story. He said Jim McElvain. And so he locks him in the old gym, and he gets in his face and he challenges him. He basically says, you're playing basketball because you look the part and your heart's not in it and you have no passion for the game. And he had him in tears, I believe. And he got the response he wanted. All of a sudden, McElvain turned into a guy who had a 7-foot body and was using it. And I think signed like a $35 million contract with Seattle at the time. Mm. And I always said McElvain should have sent a check every month to Kevin O'Neal, because if he doesn't have that come to Jesus moment, then McElvain's just, you know, he might not even get drafted, right? Let alone make life changing money.
Now, and that's a coach. And could you imagine hearing go ahead.
Are you even allowed to do that? If that got out today.
Well, yeah, yeah. Today is a much different, different scenario. But, you know, after watching, you know, the whole Michael Jordan, the doc last year, that he was really riding people. A lot of people absolutely had a tough time, but that's what it took. That's what it took. So what would that look like here on the Bulls team? Who is that leader that could turn to him and hold him more accountable? I'm not sure we have that person.
Well, that's the thing. You know, in college, it's easier to get that response in college because they are afraid of their coach. In a players' league like the NBA, you know,
it's backwards. Yeah,
it would have to come from a Michael Jordan, one of your leaders on the team.
Right.
And Zach LaVine, God bless him, or DeMar DeRozan, they don't strike me as that guy. And maybe they don't have even their great talent, they don't have the cachet or credibility to do that to somebody on the team. But that was just Michael Jordan. I mean,
right.
he wanted to beat you in golf. He'd want to beat you in cards. He wanted, you know, whatever he was doing, he was going to win.
And he brought everybody up with him. If you were on the team, you had to match his intensity. But Billy Donovan seems to have that that respect from the players. He certainly has for Bulls fans, I think, most, unless you want to chime in and say otherwise. But I think he's got the respect from Bulls fans. So that he would be the guy to do it. Vooch just has to respond, because Patrick Williams is not an option for a long time. And we need him to act his size. 312-332-3776. We'll continue with the Bulls conversation. We're going to get around to, we still need a GM and a head coach, and looks like Ted might have a little more say, exactly what we did not want to hear.
Hey, and our buddy Tim Doyle.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the Loyola game today against Missouri State, and he's everywhere on CBS Sports, and he's everywhere on Twitter, and he's just doing great things. And he and his son, Chicago Joe Doyle, got the money bags out right there on the Twitter feed, because – Chicago Joe got a 6-0 record from NFL picks last weekend. So we'll pick Tim Doyle's brain and played at Northwestern, Big Ten player. We'll ask him about a guy like Grayson Allen and toughness on teams and where's that line, and would you want a guy like that Brian Shockton with you?
Got a lot to do here on ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Zander. We'll be right back. So many ways to get ESPN 1000, 100.3, HD2, crystal clear, HD signal on the FM side, ESPN 1000, the app there where all the podcasts are in case you missed the hockey show with Pat Boyle and my guy Brian Hanley right here, and that will be up if it's not up already soon. And we're talking the head coach and GM search now on ESPN 1000 for the Bears. Brian, I've got the number. You want to take a guess at how many we have documented as far as GM candidates that have either been talked to or will shortly be talked to? Give me a number. Give me a number.
Baker's dozen?
North of that. 15.
Good Lord.
Head coaches. Give me a number there.
10?
11. Close, but no cigar. So it's a wide search. This is a little different than the last time they did this, right?
Well, oh boy, is it. Ernie Corsi basically, you know, said, here's John Fox, and can you write my check for being a consultant? I'll call it a day.
I got to go.
Yeah. First of all, mea culpa, apologize. I said they would hire a coach by Wednesday.
You know, and I was going to ask you about that. I was waiting Wednesday. I was waiting. I'm like, Brian said, what's happening? Why?
Well, I didn't know that we would be up to, what did you say, 15 on the GM?
Right. And we only have really one major hire, too, the Giants.
Well, that's the thing. See, now, here's, you know, my guy is Brian Daboll, and I know Mark Potash, our buddy at the Sun-Times, writing today, is he the real deal? Is he the guy who has got Josh Allen, you know, into the playoffs and kind of tailored this team so it's not as Josh Allen-centric as it used to be? Or is he the guy who got, you know, didn't do anything with Chad Pennington and Brady Quinn? Well, I think Josh Allen has a little bit more talent than either of those
just
two.
Just a bit.
And, you know, the mediocre year out of Brett Favre, I mean, he seemed to be interested in taking pictures of himself more than he was worried about the Jets at that point.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's
funny.
Yeah,
but so I don't know that that's a good parallel or comparison to comp. But the good news is, no coaches have been hired, right? So Brian Flores, right. My point was, I thought, as much as George McCaskey said they would prefer to get the GM right in place before they got to the coach, my thought was, well, Brian Flores fired with a winning record and you know, would be off the board by now.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case. Nobody. Daboll, but you mentioned the Giants. So they got started a few days after the Bears, and they went ahead and they hired Joe Schoen, right, as their – so the assistant GM at Buffalo is now going to be the GM for the Giants. And my concern is, if you connect the dots,
he's going to drag him over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to all of a sudden is, you know, Brian Daboll. And now Tyler Aki said that he saw that Jim Caldwell is now our great producer.
I saw
Tyler.
That too, yeah.
Yeah. That Jim Caldwell is not listening or going to be taking any more interviews, that he's done his. So the former head coach feel like he's going to have a choice of a few teams that he wants to be a head coach for.
How many has he talked to? Or was it only the Bears? I think it was more than just the Bears.
Yeah, okay. It's more than just the Bears. Okay. But, you know, George McCaskey said it would be an exhaustive search. At some point, it does get too exhaustive. I mean, you're covering all your bases.
Are you exhausted, Brian?
We've
been exhausted by the Bears for a long time.
But I just want to get it right. And
yes.
So, you know, if I joke about how long this has taken. But again, no one has hired a coach yet. And, you know, the GM, ideally you want to get him right. And then he tells you what his vision is for a head coach. And my vision, Mark, I don't want a defensive guy. I don't care how good Dan Quinn was right up until the second half of that Super Bowl. I don't, you know, God bless Leslie Frazier, and we'll always have the 85 Leslie Frazier. It's all about Justin Fields right now. And I know you can get a defensive-minded coach, and then he goes
ahead. Get the right OC, right.
Yeah. I'd rather have the guy that was, you know, the Matt Nagy actually – you know,
that actually
was he was sold as a as an offensive genius and a young up and coming mind.
Right.
And he turned out to be a nice guy.
And our history has been more defensive minded coaches. Right.
Yeah.
Until Matt showed up and
that's
obviously didn't
NFL.
Work. But that right. And that right. It is not the NFL. And Matt was a situation where he got a lot more props than I think he deserved. There was some promise there yet unfulfilled. We move on. So I agree that we should be looking at somebody offensive minded. And I do appreciate them taking so much time. The problem when it's going to turn bad is if these coaches start getting hired in a very quick fashion.
Yeah, the dominoes start falling.
Yeah, and then the funnel, and then we're going to have to pick up what's left. We have to stay ahead of that. My problem is that we heard Cap from ESPN 1000, Cap and Hood Show. We heard him say that he had sources that said Ted Phillips is telling people he's going to be a lot more involved. And my ire is focused, laser point focus on Ted Phillips, not McCaskey. And here's why. Ted has taken advantage of this situation for far too long. We had a guy in John Paxson who, you know, we were told that he basically at one point said, you know what, this is not happening with the Bulls. I'm going to back away. Let's get somebody else in. Ted, I blame him for wanting to take these reins when he knows he doesn't deserve them and to inject himself even more or even accept the McCaskies for trying to inject himself even more is really taking advantage of the fan base and the McCaskies.
Well, the McCaskies, you know, this blind loyalty we talked about last week where George just they bow at the Ted Phillips altar because he got Soldier Field.
What does
renovated.
He have on them? What?
Well, he's made of money such, but the, you know, around the league, everyone's like, well, the Bears should be making a lot more money than they make because the smallest stadium, they don't own the stadium. They, you know, finally started paying people and trading for big time players. And they're, so they're throwing the nickels around like manhole covers that George Halas, you know, reputation is long gone. Right. Now, do they spend the money smartly?
Wisely, not at all.
No. And to your point, every time Ted Phillips opens his mouth on a Zoom call, you just your stomach turns because he just tells you, one, how tone deaf he is, and two, how much he doesn't know about the game of football.
Now, would he be in the organization if Papa Bear was here?
No.
Right.
No. And neither would George McCaskey.
Right. He'd be like, the McCaskey okay, you're all my kids and grandkids, but y'all get out of here because you haven't learned a thing.
No, Pat McCaskey would be singing his holiday tunes on his CDs that he passed out when we were down in Champaign. You know, did you get a CD? I'm like, no, I didn't. It was, you know, Pat McCaskey sings Christmas carols. I mean, it's just
hell of a coaster.
Yeah, but look, I will say it's an exhaustive search. It's a really good list. It's the longest list from at least eyeballing it.
And this is only what we know. We've got to assume that there are some names
very transparent. The Bears tweet out as soon as they interview somebody, they tweet out.
But don't you think there's a chance that maybe there's keeping something on the down low?
Jim Harbaugh's not coming here.
And that's okay by me.
Yeah, they're not paying Jim Harbaugh what he's either going to get paid at Michigan. The talk now is sometimes predicting who the Bears are going to get for a coach, and they landed on Pat Finley and I think Jason landed on Brian Flores. Okay. And a lot of people think that would be the smart choice, but they also predicted the other teams with openings, and they have Harbaugh showing up in Las Vegas with the Raiders because that would be a Raiders type thing to do. Harbaugh would want to extract revenge on the Niners and the West, you know, out West.
But Harbaugh just made a hire in Michigan, which
So he takes him with him. I mean,
but
the 10 million or north of 10 million that college coaches like Mel Tucker and Brian Kelly are going to get, and Jim Harbaugh is going to be making sure he gets, even though it's been less than satisfying tenure in Ann Arbor for Michigan fans. He'll get that from the Raiders, right? They were paying Gruden that. So he won't get that from the Bears. The Bears, they're not paying 10 million. They might not be the cheapest team when it comes to hiring a GM and coach, but they'll be middle class. They'll be the going rate. They will not blow anyone away with some ridiculous amount of money. So anyone who thinks Jim Harbaugh is coming here, I don't believe.
I know that there are some that really want him here, but I don't think that that's really possible. And I'm okay with it. I'd rather go in a different direction. 312-332-3776. When we get back, we will take your calls on this. Is there a name that's missing from the existing list that you would like to see them talk to, either GM or coach? You know, how much do we really think Ted Phillips is injecting himself? Maybe he's telling people that and he isn't, because that would go against what McCaskey said in the press conference, which, I mean, you know, that's not the first time. But a lot of interesting things to talk about for the GM and head coach search for the Chicago Bears. It's ESPN 1000. We're back in just a little bit here in, oh, Tim Doyle at noon. We're going to talk about all the football action, NFL action this weekend, and maybe where you can put your money. It's ESPN 1000. Hanley and Xander, ESPN 1000, talking about the Bears, the GM and head coaching process, search process, I should say, 15 on the list for GM that they've either talked to or will shortly talk to. I think there are four people that they've yet to talk to, Brian, and then 11 on the coaching side. I don't know, is there a name that we haven't seen on these lists that maybe we should be talking to? 312-332-3776. The Bears have a lot of needs, but right now it starts with the GM, head coach, and then on down. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. And again, if someone out there wants to make a case for a defensive guy coming in and running the show, 312-332-3776. Todd Bowles, God bless him. Leslie Frazier. And look, Buffalo's defense doesn't get enough credit because it's all about the offense and Josh Allen these days, but that defense is dominating.
Idea of having Leslie involved somehow is great. Yeah. But head coach,
Not making a lateral move. I mean, his next move is to run the show, right. Not to be.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, what if Joe Schoen goes ahead and hires him for the Giants? Because they don't even know, moving forward, who their quarterback is. But if you're taking the Bears job, you have to sell George McCaskey and Bill Polian on the fact that you are all about Justin Fields. Yep. And you're going to get the most out of him.
That is our prized possession right now, Brian.
Right.
And we may have so many other needs, but that's the one we have to focus on. Tom in Volo wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tom.
Hey. Yeah, I think the most important thing, more important, because they were talking on one of the other shows in the morning, will this new coach be here still in 4 years or when they move to Arlington? I don't think so. I think the offensive line is better than it was when Trubisky was in there. There's no studs on that line as far as I'm concerned. There's no number ones.
Well, there's There's glaring need on that line. It has been for a while, but we just have to work with the right people.
And there's going to be on the defensive line if Akeem Hicks doesn't come back. Yep. What's his name sat out last year? He came back. He had one good game, and I argued with Waddle on the afternoon show before about him. Oh, he can just get in and work out. And I'm like, you're not going to take defensive tackles or big, heavy guys. You don't get out of football shape for a year and then come back and work out a little bit and be ready. He looked terrible. And now you're talking a wide receiver. Robinson might not be back. Hicks, where are you going to find these guys? You don't have draft picks.
It's going to be a long road. It's going to be a long road.
The heavy
lifting. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to state was they're saying, I watched the Bears the whole season, even when they were bad. This guy's had some nice passes and some nice stuff here and there. But you know what? They sat there and ripped Trubisky. They would have had two draft picks, this one and that year's, that they could have used on an offensive lineman. And here's the other thing, too. Everyone keeps saying quarterback, lineman, we need this. Whatever happened to drafting the best player available? And then we end up with some loser.
Well, thank you, Tom, for the call. A lot of stuff in the past, Brian, that we cannot go back and change. Boy, I wish we could.
Well, two things can be true. Matt Nagy could have been a terrible coach and developer of talent in Trubisky if you're a Trubisky guy, which I'm not. I think the league has spoken on Trubisky, and moving forward, he'll be holding the clipboard for years to come and filling in when someone gets hurt.
Don't you think he's going to be a little better than that?
Well, I mean, he's not going to be a starting quarterback. Okay. I mean,
Mike Glennon started. That's all I have to say.
Well, Ryan Pace is no longer a GM. And by the way, have you noticed whose names aren't on these lists, of people interviewing? Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, by the way.
No, and we kind of suspected that much.
Well, neither one of them is going to hold the title with Pace and GM and Nagy as head coach ever again. The fact that they're talking about Matt Nagy could be the offensive coordinator for somebody, why would you do that? Because you're friends with him?
I think he's already demonstrated that he's not even up for that job.
No, he had to fire himself from play calling twice, not once but twice.
We've got John from Evanston that wants to jump in, and I think we all feel the same as John. Hey, John, welcome in to ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Zander.
Well, as far as Nagy goes, he's going to go back to being a quarterback coach because he's already determined that he can't call plays, he can't figure out an offensive scheme. So put him back as a quarterback coach where he can work with a young quarterback and, you know, help him develop maybe or do what he has to do. That's another story for another team. As far as I'm concerned, the GM that the Bears hire, okay, they have to sit down with him and make it very clear that the next head coach has to have some experience as an offensive coordinator that has worked with young quarterbacks, because that is going to be a must if Fields is going to remain a Bear and actually get on the field with some kind of, you know, with some kind of game plan behind him so he knows what he's doing. I think you set him back by bringing him out this year. He wasn't ready. There was no scheme there. There was nothing for him to work with. You know, they had nobody on the bench that could work with him. They need to get a head coach and an offensive coordinator that can verbally, you know, work with this kid, you know, get comfortable with him, get him comfortable with them, and bring him forward and get him up to par.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. You know, Brian, it was something we needed to see, yet it wasn't the right time for Justin to come out on the field because we didn't really have the support for him. And hopefully he isn't set back too far.
Well, the
by
whole
that.
Plan was screwed up. I mean, absolutely. Matt Nagy wasn't going to put him on the field at all.
Right.
And then, you know, by injury, or you have to put him out there, and he had not taken any snaps with the first team. And then it's hodgepodge, and then the play calling is, you know, terrible because that's what happens with Matt Nagy. The whole thing, the jury is fully out on Justin Fields.
Yes.
You cannot judge him
on what happened last year.
You can't say he's going to be the future, and you can't say he's going to be a bust.
One more call before we hit break, and after we get back, we'll talk to Tim Doyle. Steven from Mount Prospect, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say real quick, I have nothing against Justin Fields, have nothing against any of the new draft picks coming up from now into the future, but I'm really at a loss here for how the city itself sells itself so quickly on saying that a quarterback is a franchise player when they never truly prove themselves.
We have too much hope, Stephen.
Yeah, I know, but it's ridiculous because it's, hey, let's build our future around this guy. Well, why don't we wait and see if this guy is worth it? No one ever does. We did the same thing with Jay Cutler. I think I played 8 games in Denver, and for months everybody's like, oh my God, we're a Super Bowl contender, and he was nothing. Right. But this happened year after year after year, and they keep making the same mistake, and I just don't understand the level of misunderstanding that people have regarding calling somebody a franchise player. They have to prove themselves first, right?
Absolutely.
And it never happened.
Yep. Thank you, Stephen.
I mean,
yeah.
The nature of the draft is you have to project, and that's why you trade up to get a Justin Fields.
Right.
And you have to have faith in the people who are making those decisions.
And the people to develop them.
Know what they're doing.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they did not know what they're doing. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have the talent to develop.
Right,
we don't know yet.
Last year, we got to just, it's in the past, moving forward, have the right people in to try to develop what we think will be a franchise quarterback, yet undetermined at this point. All right, we're back in 2 minutes here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk to Tim Doyle about Loyola basketball and about where maybe we should be putting our money this weekend on the four divisional football games in the NFL, right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.